Welcome to the podcast. Jeff Wolf is a revivalist, author, and the founder and president of Resurgence, a Cincinnati-based nonprofit organization on a mission to minister to the ministry. We're so glad to have you today. Here's Jeff.
Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you created something? Now, some of you may be saying to yourself, well, I don't create things. I'm not very creative. That's exactly what I've always said, that I'm not a very creative person. I don't have creativity flowing out of me. And that's ironic because the Lord reminded me of something as I was meditating on His Word. As I was thinking about my own creative ability and how I rely on others for creativity. You know, I was talking to my publisher. I'm on book number 4. I just published Mindemic, which I've been telling you about. I hope you've read it. I hope you've gone out and got it. And in talking with the publisher and dealing with book covers and things like that, and now working on a fourth project in support of law enforcement, I've been talking to the publisher about the design of the book, inside and outside, and those issues. And he asked me, he said, do you have any idea of what you want? And my answer was yes and no. Yes, I have an idea. I'll know it when I see it. But no, I'm not a very creative person. And as I was thinking about that conversation, the Lord stopped me. And he said, why do you keep telling people you're not creative? Why do you keep telling people that you don't have any creative ability, that there's nothing new inside of you? That's what you say when you say, I'm not very creative. You're saying there's nothing new inside of you. And it's not true. God reminded me, if you're not creative, then where did the books come from that you've written? I've written and published 3 books now, 2 of them self-published and 1 professionally published in kind of a hybrid format. And now I'm working on number 4, which is going to be traditionally published. And the Lord said to me, if you're not creative, where did those books come from? I'm a creative person, but I don't know that I'm a creative person. And the same is true for you. Now, when I say I'm not creative, I think what I'm saying is I'm not very visual. My wife will tell you, when we go to a restaurant, I order based on the pictures in the menu. Are you that way too? And when COVID started and we first began to be able to get back in restaurants to minimize everyone touching the same menu, they started doing this thing where you've probably done it, where you scan a code on this card on the table with your phone and you look at the menu on your phone. Or they give you this abbreviated, shortened paper throwaway menu. The problem with those, whether on your phone or on paper, is they removed all the pictures. And I started having a crisis of creativity because I would say to myself, now I have to read the entire menu to know what I want rather than just looking at the pictures because I'm afraid I'll miss something. I know that's strange and that's weird, but that's how my mind operates. I have to have pictures and I will almost always order something off a menu that is pictured on the menu. Now, I know it doesn't always look like it looks in the picture when it comes out, but that's the way I am. I am visual. I have to see something. When I was plotting my last book and the layout, I had to create a whiteboard on my wall outside my office, and I had to get dry erase markers and write it out so that I could see everything in one big picture. So I'm very visual, and in order to be creative, I have to be visual. But I keep telling people I'm not very creative, and the Lord said to me, stop telling people that. You are creative. If you weren't creative, I wouldn't bless you. Think about that for a moment. God only blesses what is fruitful and creative. Now, let me ask you another question. What is the first thing God told Adam to do? What's the first job that God told Adam to do? It wasn't to be fruitful and multiply. But before God told Adam and Eve to procreate, God told Adam before Eve was created from his rib, God told Adam to create. God created Adam and then pointed to Adam and said, now you create. What do I mean? Well, when God created the animals, he gave Adam the job of naming these creatures, every living thing Adam would name. Now, if you don't think that takes creativity, Adam was creating, he was naming, creating by naming these animals. He was taking what God had done and putting a name on it. God gave him that job. The first thing God did with his creation was to give it the authority to create. Now, don't jump ahead of me. Let me walk you through what I want to share with you today, because I'm telling you, you are creative. You may say that you're not creative, but what you're saying is that you are visual, that you need to see something. I was referencing a book cover the other day on the telephone with a publisher, and I said, I know what I want, but what I want is based on something I've seen. And so what that means is I'm not creating anything new, but it's based on something I've seen. And I say, I'm not creative. God told me to stop saying that, because I've been creating things my entire life. I've been creating things with my words. I've been creating things with my hands in terms of the printed page. I've been creating things with my Facebook posts and creating things with my tweets and YouTube videos. I am a creator. Now, what we call it these days is content, right? That word, it's a buzzword. It'll go away in a few years, but we're always talking about creating content, creating content. We refer to people on the internet who are popular and who are well-versed and followed by large numbers of people. We call them influencers or content creators. They're creating something. What are they doing? They are creating things with their words. We are all creative because God made us creative. And so I want to ask you, what's the last thing you created? I'm not necessarily talking about something that physical that you made with your hands. I'm not necessarily talking about something that you posted on social media. I'm talking about, what have you created? We're all creative. The question becomes, are we creating what God has planted in our hearts to create? Are we creating something positive, or are we creating something negative? Are we creating something that builds up, or are we creating something that tears down and criticizes and offends? Creation is in the power of God's word, and in giving Adam the job, not just the ability, but the authority to speak a name over every living creature on the earth, God was telling Adam, I have given you the ability and the authority to create. And that power of creation is in our words. Sometimes we create a lack of faith with our negative words and perceptions and thoughts. Sometimes we create strife because we want things our own way, and we act out of fear, and we create atmosphere. You have the ability and the authority to create the atmosphere around you. You have the ability and the authority to create the words in the atmosphere that will be inspiring and empowering. You are a creator. You may not be able to sit down and draw a beautiful picture freehand. You may not be able to paint like Leonardo da Vinci. You may not be able to play the piano like Bach or Mozart or anybody for that matter. That does not mean you are creative. Not being able to engage in the traditional arts does not exempt you from the creative category. You are creative in that your words are creative. So let me ask you again, what is the last thing you created? Is it good or bad? Does it tear down or does it build up? Does it encourage or does it discourage? What are you creating in your atmosphere? Let me take you to Jeremiah 1. I have literally been studying Jeremiah 1 for 2 months now. I can't get away from it. I was in West Virginia preaching just a couple of weekends ago, and I preached out of Jeremiah 1. And I feel like God had given me a message for that church, but I come home and I still can't get, I thought I got that out. You know, when God speaks to those of us who are preachers that stand in front of people and preach or share the word of the Lord and disseminate what God's placed on our hearts, sometimes God will give you a word. Preachers know what I'm talking about. God will give you a word and you can't rest until you deliver it. And that's how I felt. So I went to West Virginia. I delivered that word to that church, and I felt like I could move on. Not so. I'm back in Jeremiah 1 again. I want you to read with me if you have your Bible. I'm reading from the New International Version. Okay? Here we are in Jeremiah 1. Just a short background. God, this is Jeremiah's call narrative. In other words, this is the passage that describes the encounter that Jeremiah had with God when God called him to be a prophet to the nations. And he said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, chapter 1, verse 4, verse 5. Before you were born, I sanctified you, I ordained you a prophet to the nations. That's what God told Jeremiah he's going to do. You're going to be a prophet, Jeremiah. And listen to what Jeremiah says in verse 6. He said, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot. Behold, I cannot. I cannot speak, for I am a youth. I cannot speak, for I am a youth." Jeremiah was creating with his words. Notice the approach that Jeremiah took. It was based on his perception of himself. I cannot. I cannot. What is it that you are telling yourself that you cannot do? What is it that you've convinced yourself that you cannot accomplish? What is it that God is trying to birth in you and you have delayed its birth because you keep saying, "I cannot, I cannot, I cannot"? What is it that you keep saying or the enemy has convinced you that you cannot do? I cannot speak, for I am a youth. I cannot, for I am. I cannot, for I am. I cannot, for I am. He keeps telling himself what he is and why he cannot. Think about that. I cannot speak, for I am a youth. God, I can't do what you're calling me to do because I am unqualified. I can't do this because I'm unqualified. I can't do what you're asking because I am unqualified. It's the power of creation. Now, let me ask you a question. What if we were to turn those phrases around? Instead of saying, "I cannot because I am," we start saying, "I can because I am not." I can because I am not. I can because I am not. We have just reversed the drive. We have just turned the creative ability upside down. And now we are not creating an atmosphere that discourages and tears down, but we are creating an atmosphere that lifts up, that empowers, and that inspires. I can do what you've called me to do because I am not a quitter. I can finish this task because I am not a failure. I can be a prophet because I am not my own. I am a child of God. Can because I am not. I want you to get a piece of paper or a notepad and a pen and write down these phrases with blanks there. I can blank because I am not blank. And I want you to begin working that in your life, in your circumstances, and I promise you it will reveal what God is calling you to create. Sometimes the best way to identify what God wants you to do is to identify the things that you keep telling yourself you can't do. Man, that's powerful. That's powerful. Now, I've been preaching to you out of Matthew 21 for several months also. I've been bringing to your attention the cursing of the fig tree when Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. And I got to go back there again. because I realized talking about this creativity that God has given each of us, that not only are we creative because He made us creative, but we must be creative because He made us to create. Let me say that again. We must be creative because He made us to create. God created man and told man to create. Now, Matthew chapter 21, verse 21, Jesus curses the fig tree. The disciples look on in amazement, and Jesus says, if you think that's something, if you have faith and do not doubt, then you can say to this mountain, be carried away and cast in the midst of the sea, and it shall be done. Now, why did Jesus curse the fig tree? That's what I want to ask you. I've given you many theologically sound answers to that question. I use that illustration to describe cursing the unfruitful thoughts of anxiety and depression. But I believe the fig tree also illustrates something that is not creating or producing. Hear me out now. This is going to take coffee. Hear me out. The fig tree was producing, but it was not creating. And that describes a lot of people. If God has given us the ability and the mandate to create, producing is not enough. To produce and to create are not the same things. God has given us a mandate to create, and we stop at producing. Let me tell you what I mean by that. When Jesus went to the fig tree, He noticed that it had no fruit, but it did have leaves. Now, in this particular tree, the fruit came before the leaves. So why was there no fruit on the tree if a fig tree bears its fruit before the leaves? The leaves are there. So somebody asked, well, why did Jesus curse the fig tree? It obviously was still alive. It was producing. Yes, it was producing leaves, but it was not producing fruit. It was producing leaves, but it was not producing fruit. Listen to what I'm about to say. The leaf has no seed to recreate. The fruit is what contains the seed that recreates. Leaves do not recreate themselves. Fruit, however, bears the seed inside it to recreate, or to create another version of itself. God didn't call you to just produce things. He called you to create things that will create again and create again and create again. God, the Creator, gave us the power. He gave us the ability. He gave us the authority and the method by which to create. When you create something, you ought to be creating something that can continue creating. Man, this is good preaching. I wish I had time to dig down into this. God cursed the fig tree because it was producing, but it was not creating. God does not bless what is not creating. I'll go a step further and say that that which has the ability and authority to create and does not create is under a curse. The fig tree had the ability to create, but it disobeyed the very creative word of God. It produced leaves, but it didn't bear fruit. It didn't create fruit that has the seed inside of it to recreate and recreate and recreate. It is a perpetual creation. What's the last thing you created? Because if you want to live under blessing, if you want to bear fruit, you have to create, 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 create something with the seed in it to create something else, with the seed in it to create something else. This is the pattern of creation. God did not create millions of people to populate the earth. He created two. He created Adam, and then out of Adam, he created Eve and said, now you, I put the seed in you to create. Not only are you creative, but you have the authority and the anointing and the command of God to create. You can use this principle to describe giving and tithing. Malachi 3. You have robbed me. Will a man rob God? You have robbed me in that you have robbed me of tithe and offerings, and you are cursed with the curse. Now, your tithe, your offering, is your seed for abundance. That which a man sows, that will he also reap. Your tithe is your seed. It's not your harvest. I heard Mike Murdoch say several years ago, if it's not big enough to be your harvest, it's your seed. You have to put seed. That tithe, that offering is your seed. When I give to God, I'm not giving begrudgingly or out of necessity, but I'm giving with a cheerful heart because I know I'm putting a seed in the ground in this season that's going to reap a harvest in the next season, not because I am buying a blessing, but because God's laws of sowing and reaping are true. They are yes and amen. They will happen. So therefore, when I plant seed out of the abundance of my heart and out of my blessing, God will bring it back because his word said it would. The seed creates the blessing. If you have no seed in the ground, you are not creating. You are not recreating. The absence of seed is the absence of blessing, and that's the core of the lesson in Malachi chapter 3. Now, one more thing, and I'm going to let you go. I am an ambassador of restoration. I am a recipient of the power of God's restoration. That's why the name of this ministry has been Resurgence since its very inception in 2017. Because I am a man who has walked through failure and experienced resurgence and restoration. Restoration is about recreation. I love that. Restoration is all about recreation. God said, I'm going to take you, which I created, and I'm going to take you to the potter's house, and I'm going to put you on the wheel, and I'm going to recreate you. And when I recreate you, I'm going to put seed in you, and I'm going to cause you to plant that seed, and I'm going to bring a harvest. What is the last thing you created? I want to encourage you today that you can create the atmosphere around you by using your words. The power of life and death is in the tongue, James says. What does that mean? Let me tell you what it means. God is careful about what he says. Why is that? Because whatever he says is. You ever heard that fable about the Midas touch, that everything that was touched turned to gold? That's the way God's word is. God is the creator. How does he create? He creates with his word. So God is careful about what he says, intentional about what he says, because every time he speaks, something is created. Every time he speaks, something is created. If God has given you a promise, it's as good as created. You're just waiting on the delivery at the appropriate time in the due season of your blessing. So therefore, you and I, given the same authority of the Word of God, have to be careful what we say. Because every time we speak, we're creating. What's the last thing you created? Let me ask you another question that I want to leave you with. What's the next thing that you're going to create? God bless you. I love you. Have a great week, and I'll see you next time.
We're so glad you joined us today. Remember to subscribe on your favorite podcast provider and YouTube. For more information, go to jeffwolf.org. Are you one of the 268 million people around the world who are battling anxiety and depression? J. Jeff's new book addresses this pandemic of the mind. Mindemic: How Faith Can Help Us Overcome the Anxiety and Depression Crisis in America will restore your hope and help you challenge the lies of the enemy in your mind. It's available on Amazon and at mindemic.org. We'll see you next week. Be blessed.